This is now the fifth in a series of messages under the title, Who is the Baby? Who is the Baby? We are in Luke chapter 2, and we are reading verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus, that all the world, that is the whole empire, the whole Roman Empire, should be registered, that is a census should be taken. This census or registration first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. The New Living Translation says this was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city, that is, to their own ancestral towns. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage or family line of David, the New Living Translation. And because David was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. Again, he was to be registered, Joseph was, with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. The New Living Translation says, Joseph, he took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. The New Living Translation says, and while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The Holman Christian Standard Bible says she gave birth to her firstborn son and she wrapped him snugly in cloth and laid him in a feeding trough because there was no room for them at the lodging place. We've been asking the question, who is the baby? This is a Christmas communion service. Many of you have already attended four services dedicated to answering this question, who is the baby? We've learned things like this. The baby is Mary's baby in a human sense. The baby is not Joseph's baby in the normal human sense. The baby is the Word of God become human. The baby is the Son of God become human. The baby is the Christ, the Messiah. He's the hero of the whole Bible. He's the champion of the whole Bible. He's the hero. He's the champion of the whole human story. That's who this Jesus is, who this baby is. Perhaps we should say it so plainly, the baby is divine. We're told that in a number of ways. We're told that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt here among us, and we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We're told that He is the fulfillment of a prophecy, and He would be known as Emmanuel because He would be God with us. We're told that in the flesh, in His human person, His origin is divine. He's conceived in the womb of a virgin without the assistance of her husband or anybody else. She is pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. So who is this baby? He is divine. And we mean that in the fullest sense of the meaning of the word. If God the Father is divine, we mean that word divine exactly the same way, in the fullest possible degree and sense, when we say Jesus is divine, right? So, that's not everything that we've said in four messages, right? But you can see how magnificent the Scripture's answer is. Who is the baby? But in light of that, we have to find the baby's birth and the circumstances of the baby's birth even more shocking in light of what we already know about who Jesus is. Jesus' first baby bed was a feeding trough. Jesus spent his first night out of the womb of his mother as a newborn . He spent that in a place where animals are kept. That's not where normally where humans would stay. Let me kind of make this modern very quickly. Not only is Jesus not in a 5-star hotel in downtown Indianapolis on the 30th floor, he's not in the Motel 6. Not only does he not have a baby bed that meets the specifications, that it's not going to hurt the baby. You know, they've tested how the sides go up and down and how it's built, so it's not, there's no possibility that they can see. There's no way the baby's going to get hurt in this bed, right? They can't knock things loose. No, he's just in a feeding trough. The line is pretty simple. The last line we read, did you remember what it said? It said there was no room for them in the inn. It makes me think, what a poor reception for Jesus, the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah. Then I think, but wait a minute. Others did quite well in receiving and welcoming Jesus. We've already read about some of them, haven't we? Mary did, didn't she? She did. Right? You guys remember? Angel comes, Mary, you're going to have a baby. She says to the angel, paraphrasing, I need to give you an update on things in case you've missed something. I'm engaged, but we're not making babies. And not only that, I'm not making babies with anybody else. So the angel has to say, no, I'm completely aware of that. Your baby's going to come by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mary's response, Luke 1:38. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I like the Holman Christian Standard Bible. It does a really good job translating this phrase more literally. "I am the Lord's slave," said Mary. "May it be done to me according to your word." Boy, she welcomed Jesus, didn't she? Once she was told what God was going to do and that it wasn't going to compromise her commitment to be the person God had called her to be, she said, absolutely. God, you do with me whatever you will. You send me the baby you want me to have. I'll be whatever you want me to be. Boy, she welcomed Jesus, didn't she? Joseph, he did pretty good too, didn't he? Pretty impressive. Matthew 1:18. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way after his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph. It was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Now, at this point, Joseph doesn't know that. Matthew's telling us this is what happened, but Joseph doesn't know yet. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. To be clear, Joseph is hurt. He could justifiably also have been angry, but he's mostly hurt. And the fact that he's not mostly angry is clear because he's not trying to get revenge for what he thinks is marital infidelity. He just can't marry her because he doesn't think she's the person he thought she was. But he's not going to embarrass her. He's just not going to marry her. Right? Verse 20. But after he considered these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. So Joseph is already praying. He's already reflecting. He's already thinking about what does a godly man do in these kinds of circumstances. Well, he doesn't mistreat the woman to whom he was engaged to be married. He doesn't make a public spectacle out of her. He doesn't embarrass her. He doesn't try to ridicule her. Even if he can't marry her because he can't trust her, he doesn't do any of those things. So, Lord, how do you want me to handle this? And the Lord says, I don't want you to do any of the stuff you're thinking about doing. She is who you think she is. She has been loyal to you. In fact, her loyalty to you is only surpassed by her loyalty to me. So you take her to be your wife. And that baby that isn't yours, raise it like it's yours. And here's the name you're going to call the baby. So, verse 24, when Joseph got up from sleeping, he did as the angel had commanded him. He married her, but did not know her intimately until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. Man, Mary, she welcomed Jesus. She received Jesus. She gave Jesus a reception. Joseph gave Jesus a reception. Who else? The shepherds did, didn't they? You guys know most of the story. We just covered it on Sunday. You know they're out in the fields. They're minding their own business. They're keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord appeared, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And the King James, the old King James says, and they were sore afraid. All right? Don't be afraid. Right? Don't be afraid. For I bring you good tidings, a great joy that will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And so he's easy to find. You're going to go into Bethlehem and you're going to look for a newborn. And the newborn is going to be in a feeding trough. So you're not going to Indianapolis and looking, getting on the elevator and going up to the 30th floor. No, you're going to find this baby in these circumstances. And the angels leave. Verse 15, Luke 2:15. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough. That's good. This is the kind of reception King Jesus deserved. His mother received him. His earthly daddy received him. The shepherds received him. They gave him a welcome. They're not all. The Magi did too, didn't they? Yeah. We'll get to this Sunday, but I'll give you a teaser to get started. Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men or magi from the east arrived unexpectedly in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Man, they traveled a great distance, great expense, because the stars, or we should say the God of the stars, has told them that a new king has been born. And they come. And we know they come with treasures, don't they? They don't come empty-handed. And what's their intent? Well, when they find him, they intend to worship him. Verse 11, entering the house, they, that would be the wise men, the magi, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshiped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Wow. At first, it sounds like at the birth of Jesus, we're tempted to think that his reception was terrible all the way around. There was no room for him in the inn. He's lying in a feeding trough. Surely this isn't right. But he got a great reception from Mary. He got a great reception from Joseph. He got a really good and enthusiastic reception from the shepherds. And he got a royal reception from the wise men. Sometimes we think there's even a story about a child who first time in a Christmas program and kind of wrapped up in the acting and the story, and it came time for the innkeeper to say, "Well, I've got no room. There's nowhere for you to stay here." And the little child said, "He can stay with me." I think sometimes we would like to think, you know, if that was my inn or that was my town and this couple came in, I would have done something different. I would have found a place for them. I wouldn't have let them stay in those kinds of accommodations. I would have done better. I would have given Jesus a better reception. But here's my question, not what would you have done, but what are you doing? What kind of reception is Jesus getting from you? The scriptures teach this is a very, very significant question. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Jesus, To them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. This word received there, the idea is the idea of welcoming. It's a reception. I don't want to make fun of anybody tonight, but you guys know that in our culture, we sometimes hear people knocking at the door, and we know who they are because they have a habit of coming in groups, and they're dressed a certain way, and we decide we don't really have time for a conversation, so we just don't open the door. Hope they'll go on their way. We don't want to be bothered. That's the question that's being asked here. Are we receiving Jesus? Are we welcoming him? Because to be clear, when we think about who is the baby, the scripture makes it clear that the baby, Jesus, is the one who must be received. He is the one who must be welcomed. Why is that? Because consistent with the way that Jesus entered the world and he spent his first baby bed was a feeding trough, and his first stay outside of his mother's womb wasn't even in human accommodations. Jesus does not play the role of the bully. He just doesn't. He could. It's his world. He entered it. He could have laid claim to it from the very beginning and bullied all the world into bowing as soon as he arrived. But that wasn't God's plan, and so that isn't what Jesus did. And that isn't how Jesus has related to humanity. He hasn't played the role of the bully. Instead, Jesus offers invitations. I think of the invitation he offered in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Originally given to a church, almost like us meeting tonight. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. The original setting is a church, just like what we're doing tonight. And the scene is of Jesus being outside the gathering. And he is knocking on the door, and we hear the knocking. And we think that we're all gathered together with Jesus, but on this particular occasion, we're not. He's not there. And one of us goes to the door and looks out there, and to our shock and dismay, the Jesus we thought we were gathered together with isn't present. He's outside, and now it is up to us. Are we going to open the door and let him come in and be the centerpiece of the meeting he should have been all the time? And of course, the parallel is, Jesus doesn't badger or bully the gathered church, but he doesn't bully or badger individuals either. He knocks. He doesn't kick doors down. He waits for people to open them, because as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. You say, Brother Ricky, those are just a couple of verses. Well, how about Matthew chapter 11, verse 28? Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." All of you. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus often said, he who has ears, let him hear. Jesus doesn't play the role of the bully. Jesus offers invitations, and from the very beginning, he wasn't a bully. There's no room in the inn? Okay. I won't be in the inn. The only spot there is for me is a feed trough. I don't even get the modest accommodations of the Hotel 6. That's okay. He didn't begin as a bully, and his ministry isn't that of a bully, is it? This is extra tonight. You guys are in the Lord, and you've been thinking about these things. Simon Peter, hey, Jesus, I'll be a bully. I'll get my sword out. I'll get rid of these Romans. I'll get rid of the servant of the high priest. I'll show them one. Jesus, you don't have to do anything. You just stand back. I'll be a bully for you. What does Jesus say? Don't do that. Put your sword away. He who tries to live by the sword, he's going to die by the sword. And you, Malchus, your buddy, bring me your ear. Let me fix that. Even in the Lord's Supper, isn't there an invitation? Yeah. Listen. And he took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant which is shed for you. Other versions say, drink from it, all of you. Even in the Lord's Supper, there is an invitation. You and I either decide we are going to receive Jesus, we're going to welcome him, we're going to give him a worthy reception, or we're not. If we don't, he won't force himself on us. In fact, hell is Jesus saying, you wanted to be without me, I'm going to let you. You didn't want me? Okay, you're going to get what you wanted. He's not a bully. There's an old hymn of the faith. I love it. We've sung it for years and years. I have as he was a kid and otherwise. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? If you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. Receive him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart he'll abide. Time after time he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in. So, broadly, what kind of reception is Jesus getting from you today? Is Jesus getting the kind of reception from you that he's worthy of? Is it nonchalant, noncommittal, okay? Or is it, oh yes, Lord, absolutely. Let's pray. Lord, move our hearts so that whatever is lacking in the reception that we are giving to Jesus, we will be aware of it and we will repent of it, and our reception of him will be worthy of him. It will be enthusiastic. It will be full of appreciation. It will be amazement at the grace that he is and brings into our lives. Let us heartily, enthusiastically, zealously say, yes, Lord. May we model our reception of Jesus the way Mary did. I am the Lord's slave, and oh, so glad to be just that. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.